Now entering Nerdist.com.
Chew It
with a guy named Kevin.
Chew It
and this other guy Steve.
Chew It
from the TV and the movies, and now this podcast stream.
Chew It,
they're gonna get chewy.
Chew It,
they might even get me.
Chew It,
but they're gonna get funky on this podcast thing.
What's up, everybody?
Hi, guys.
Welcome to another episode of Chewing It.
This is Steve Lemmy.
Kevin Heffernan.
I liked your enthusiasm with which you were chewing.
You did?
Yeah, when we just kicked this off.
I like to start it with some good enthusiasm, you know, energy.
Yeah, but like you caught me by surprise. Like you started and you just started chewing like a madman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like to bring it when I chew.
You brought it.
I have to bring the chew.
Success.
Before we talk about Bring the Chew,
that should be the name of your autobiography.
You think?
Or the name of your first album, maybe. Bring the Chew. Or the name of your...
And then the second album would be Brought the Chew.
Yeah, Chewed It Up. Chew You.
Chew Two.
Chew... Yeah, okay.
Before we go talk about the stuff we're going to talk about, let's just get the thing out of the way.
Do it.
Our sponsor, go to the Chewing It website page. Go to the Nerdist page.
Please.
And... click on that Amazon.com banner, because it's one of those deals that you click on that banner and then you go shop at Amazon, and then, you know, we get a little something to help us make the show.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
But, you know, if you're going to go to Amazon.com anyway,
yeah,
just go click through our banner and then shop, and then it helps support the show.
Sure. Let's say you've decided you're going to buy the Game of Thrones book series.
Okay.
Rather than just go directly to Amazon, go through the Nerdist website.
Sure.
And then a couple of George R.R. Martin cents get pumped into the Chewing It
podcast
bank account.
That's right.
That doesn't mean us, Kevin and I. That just means the Nerdist site.
Keeps
it all running.
Right. It means the support staff.
Yeah, it means people like Aristotle, that bastard.
Aristotle.
Yeah.
We'll get to him.
Showing up early for Lance Henriksen.
Okay, so anyway... That's it, man. That's all the business we have. Well, the big business we have to talk about is I'm excited. This is the month. We're like 2 weeks away.
Yeah, from?
Shooting our special in Denver.
Shooting special number two.
Right?
Yeah. If you haven't seen our first special, Fat Man Little Boy, it's available on Netflix. And now we are shooting special number two at the Denver Comedy Works downtown in Larimer Square.
Yeah, yeah.
And
which is an awesome club. We've been there before.
What are the dates? That's June?
June 26th through 28th. So it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
26th, 27th, 28th. And we're going to shoot all the shows. And then we'll edit together the special from all the shows.
And then we will...
They've got the greatest hits almost.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Huh?
Then we'll retire the comedy material forever.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to that. Because here's how it works, right? Like... We did our last special, like a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And so you do all that material for like a year, year and a half, until you're ready, then you shoot it, and then you can retire it.
Yeah.
Because you're sick of it.
Yeah.
And so now we're at the point where we've been doing this particular show for a little while. It's ready to shoot. And the exciting thing is, when we're done shooting, we'll come up with this new material, which is always a different fun thing.
Yeah. Now, how sick of your material are you on a scale of from 1 to 10?
No, I don't want to say I'm sick of it. Since I love it, and I like... Every audience is different, and it's fun performing it. But, like, there is an excitement to new material.
Yeah.
And a terror to new material.
Which is part of the excitement.
Right.
It's like that masochistic thrill.
Right.
You get from being out there on stage trying something new. And even when you bomb, it's still... is powerful.
Yeah.
But you and I had actually watched that special Talking Funny on HBO a long time ago. The Ricky Gervais, Louis C.K.
Seinfeld, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
That was a great thing.
It was great. And I remember something that hit both of us pretty strongly was Louis C.K. talking about, you know, comedy bits like a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you grow it and at a point it gets to like the sweet spot where it's delicious.
Yeah.
And then it starts to get spoiled.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's something that... can't be avoided because you are just saying something over and over again. Maybe you fall into the trap of reciting it a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Rote, maybe?
Yeah.
Things get rote.
It's nice to, you know, sometimes clean out your garage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. I hear that, bro.
Dump it all.
But it doesn't mean that we're going to blow it out in Denver. We're going to have a great time in Denver.
We're gonna
got, like, after parties and stuff, too, right?
Yeah, so that's something the founders of the Denver Beer Company were kind enough to host two after parties for us.
And these are guys who went to Colgate. That's our connection.
Yeah, they went to Colgate. Charlie Berger.
Yeah, good guys.
And they are going. They have two breweries, and right now there is. I actually don't know what the promotional code is.
Yeah.
But if you go to the Denver Beer Company and like they give you the passcode,
so Denver Beer Company. You go to like their website or something, or you go to their. You go to the actual place.
I think you go to the place. You might be able to find. I think the passcode might be VIP.
Okay.
And then that gets you into when you make your reservations at the Denver Comedy Works Comedy Club. Entering that password gets you into the after party. We're going to have, for everyone who comes to the Friday show, yeah. Shows, both shows Friday,
yeah, yeah.
Who has gone through the Denver Beer Company, will be have passes to the after party.
Okay.
At the Denver Beer Company cannery.
Okay.
They're opening up at, basically it's
so
like.
There's two different clubs. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the address.
But whatever, I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah, and
that'll be fun.
It's going
to
be great.
Because we'll be able to do the shows and they'll go party with the audience.
Exactly. And so same goes for Saturday. If you buy tickets through them to the Saturday night shows, either early or late shows, you get passes to the after party that we will be at.
Which is kind of what we want to do. We want to make it like a festive, fun thing. So you come down, maybe even get your face on camera.
Yeah.
Maybe get yanked out of the crowd.
Yeah.
Or just sit sheepishly in the back if you'd like.
Sure. You don't have to be part of the thing.
Right.
You can be part of it just by laughing.
Sure.
We actually, a number of people who came to the show, I mean, we like to feature a lot of people. We bring people up on stage, and we do a lot of crowd work. We talk to people in the crowd.
Yeah.
So, and last time we filmed, you know, something we like to do is a post-show meet and greet.
Yeah.
Where we shake hands and take pictures with people who came to the show. And, you know, a lot of people there also made it into the closing credits.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun time.
It'll be great.
And I'm excited to do it.
Me too.
And I love Colorado.
Man, I know. Well, you got a connection, right? I mean, you're...
I went to boarding school there for 2 years.
All right. In Denver or no?
In Colorado Springs.
Oh, okay.
So...
like how far away of a drive? Do you know? We didn't drive back then, so you wouldn't know.
No, but that's about 70 miles.
Okay. Oh, that's close.
Yeah, it's really close.
You get the whole high school coming out to the show, or what?
Well, it's funny, because I did post it on our Facebook page the last time we were in Denver.
Okay.
And then a lot of people didn't come.
Oh.
It was a bad weekend last time we were there.
Yeah. It was.
I mean, just, you know, we were there, something bad happened.
Well, we don't have to dwell on it, but it was the weekend of the Aurora
yeah.
shootings, which were terrible. It was a terrible situation.
Yeah.
And then you didn't want to do a comedy show. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah.
Most people just canceled shows and things like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, understandable that they didn't rally to come to that.
Yeah, so I'm going to put something out on the Fountain Valley School website.
Okay.
Inviting people to come down.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, you spent a year or 2 years?
2 years.
Just part of your high school, because we talked about this before.
I got in trouble in New York City, went right. to boarding school in Colorado Springs.
Yep.
And, you know, it was fun. I was a bit of a fish out of water.
But now, would you call your second home, your home away from home, or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Colorado, you know, it was great, because I was a city kid, and I went out there.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the first, I looked different than everybody. Like, I had an overcoat.
What does that mean?
I had an overcoat.
Oh, like Flock of Seagulls or something?
Yeah, because this was the fashion in New York City at the time. It's still, it's not that it isn't now, but like.
You had like a Smith's, like the Smith's look or something? What'd you have?
No, I wasn't like emo or anything like that.
What kind of do were you rocking back then?
Buzzed on the sides, back, heavy bang, heavy top.
Oh, okay. That is a Flock of Seagulls-y kind of
thing. Oh, totally. It's just 80s. It's just 80s.
So buzz on the side, bang on the top, bang on the back.
Yeah, and then, you know, earring in one ear.
Okay.
Eventually, I would double up and pop one in the right ear.
Okay.
And then also...
Like George Michael?
Like George Michael. Before okay. George Michael, actually.
Okay.
Back when it was still gay to put them in your right ear.
Okay. Was it right ear or left ear?
Right ear, as I understood it, left ear.
Was that ever a thing, or was that like a...
No, that was...
Was that like an urban myth thing?
No, I think that was really a thing.
In the gay community, there was one ear that
The right ear was gay, meant you were gay. The left ear was the straight one.
Okay.
At least that's the way I understood it.
I never knew if that was a real thing or just people said it, or I never knew.
I
urban myth, or...
I'll only say with 99% certainty that that was accurate.
Okay.
But, you know, it could have been farce. I was still 16 years old.
Okay.
I also, when I was out at Fountain Valley, my junior year, I dipped my bangs in bleach. to bleach them out.
Now, how does that work? Like, what, you put a tub of bleach on the counter and dip your head into it?
Well, we didn't really know exactly how to do it.
So that's dangerous.
I had a glass of bleach. Or no, you know, it wasn't bleach. It was hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
And I bet the bleach would have worked better.
Sure, and eaten through your forehead or whatever.
Yeah, to my brains.
Yeah, and your brains.
Yeah, but...
Bleach your brains.
Yeah. But, anyway, so...
So you dipped your hair into a glass with bleach in it.
Yeah, it didn't really work.
Okay.
Very well. It worked a little. It, like, lightened it. It made it, like, red.
Okay.
But I was very much fish out of water. Like, I remember the first day, or the orientation.
Yeah.
They would take all of the new students who were... They were freshmen.
Right.
And then the fuck-ups.
Yeah.
Who were coming from different...
Somewhere schools. Else.
Yeah, so I was coming as a junior.
Now, was there anyone else coming from New York City, or were you, like, the New York City kid?
I was... There was one guy from New York City.
Okay.
There at the school already, but I was I was the only one coming.
Was he more of a Yonkers guy, or...?
No, actually, he was a Park Avenue guy.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Hello.
And he grew up just a couple blocks away.
Okay.
For me. And, okay. But I remember the faculty member who was touring us around was an actor, and he had spent much time in New York City.
Okay.
His name was Charles Lowell.
Okay.
And a great guy. And actually, he acted in a movie called Continental Divide with John Belushi.
John Belushi, right. Yeah.
And when they came
Marcia to Mason, I want to say.
Okay.
Is that possible? That was the lead female?
That's
off the dome, so.
So it's a nice call off the dome. I don't remember.
I think it's Marcia Mason.
Who's the other dude in Continental Divide? John Belushi, and is it like...
Do you know, or are you asking me?
I'm asking. Is it like Robin Williams? Is it...
Gosh, I can't remember.
Okay, no matter.
Yeah. Somebody will know out there.
Yeah.
Look it up.
But, so we were driving around in a school bus, and they're like, okay, this is Colorado, everybody. Because most of the people were from California, Texas, Utah.
Okay.
The surrounding states, a few Denver people.
Yeah.
And then I was the only one from New York City. And anyway, Charles Lowell very comically said, we were driving by a farm, and he said, hey, for Steve Lemmy, the boy from New York City, those things on the left are called cows.
Okay.
And everybody on the bus laughed at me.
Okay.
So I fucking curbed him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I was like, you know. Ha ha, motherfucker.
I'm trying to think now. I had a thing with an actor. I don't think his name was Charles Lowell, though.
Charles Powell.
Powell. He was the guy who was in Goodfellas.
Okay.
And he's like the dry cleaning guy who wants to get paid, and then they kill him.
Yeah.
His name was Charles something.
We were just talking about this guy.
We were? Who, me and you?
No, somebody else was just... I mean, this is terrible for the SIFTA, for the podcast, because I don't remember the story.
Okay. But well, I'll tell you, I have a story with that guy. If you want to look... You can look him up if you want while I tell you the story. But, I was working as a paralegal in New York City.
Okay.
Okay. And I had to go deliver papers to a real estate deal or some sort of a deal. And so I went to this... Charles Lowe. I think his name is Charles Lowe.
Okay.
I think his name is Charles Lowe.
Okay.
And he's the guy, he's in a bunch of Scorsese movies, he's in King of Comedy, he's in Goodfellas.
Is he in Casino? Because weren't we just talking about Casino? Anyway,
maybe. Okay, so anyway, so it turns out this guy was a party to this real estate deal. And somehow he had fucked up, and he was...
Chuck Lowe,
Charles Lowe, okay. So he was just like that character in Goodfellas, like...
Did he have a toupee?
No, he went bald head, but super nice guy, but kind of a glad hander and kind of like a wheeler dealer or whatever. And something was going on and the deal, something went sour in the deal. And so now it's like Friday night. And I remember I was meeting you guys out in somewhere like Fire Island or somewhere or the Jersey Shore, everyone was going. And it was one of those deals where I couldn't leave. And the trains were leaving, and the last ferry was going. Mm-hmm. And then because of this guy, Charles Lowe, I totally missed the weekend with my friends out of town.
Mm.
And, but it was like something out of, like Goodfellas, where at the end of the night, he was, you know, he came up to me and goes, hey, buddy, hey, pal, I'm really sorry about screwing up your plans for the weekend. Go get yourself something nice. He literally said that, and then he palmed me a 50.
Wow. Okay.
And then we walked out.
I bet at the time you weren't that upset.
No. I was like, hey, a 50, sweet. And it was so cliche. Like, he said it to me like the guy from Goodfellas. And he palmed me a 50, Charles Lowe, and I walked out of the out of the room.
That's an excellent story. It was okay until that moment.
Well, that's why
and
I told it.
Now it's fantastic.
That's why I told it.
There's nothing like getting palmed a little money and being told what to do with it.
Especially from a guy in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Right?
It's funny, I have two stories. One was when I worked as an elevator man, I remember a guy palming me a 5 and telling me to go get a cup of coffee.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And then I don't know if you ever know this story, but when I was in the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute.
Yeah, studying your craft.
Studying my craft of theatrics.
Yeah.
One of my scene partners was a guy named Vito Antifermo.
Okay.
Who was, he's had small parts. Like he's in Goodfellas. Here, I'll look up.
Is he the guy who gets frozen at the end of the thing? Or
No. That guy's much more famous.
Okay.
But Vito Antifermo was like the middleweight champion boxer of the world.
Really?
Yeah. I think he won once and then he lost Vito Antifermo.
Here, and who was he in Goodfellas?
He never had, I'll show you his picture. He never had like too many lines.
Okay.
In Goodfellas, he's somebody he's got a bit part.
Okay.
But in real life, he is the dude that Robert De Niro trained with.
Okay, for Raging Bull. Got it, okay.
And so he was in all, but so he and I wound up being scene partners.
Okay.
And
was he a horrible actor? Or?
I would never say anything to offend Mr. Antifermo. This dude had, here, this is Vito Antifermo. No one can see his face.
They can go look him up. Yeah, looks like a boxer.
Yeah.
Looks like he's taking a few punches to the head.
Yeah,
go look him up. Vito Antifermo. Okay, go.
Antuofermo. Anyway, this is like a super Italian-looking dude.
Yeah.
Scorsese loved him because of his face.
Sure, he's got a boxer's face.
He's got a boxer's face. Yeah. And but so he was studying acting lessons. Like, he'd done Raging Bull. He'd had little teeny parts in, like, The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were given this play, A Hat Full of Rain.
Okay.
I don't even really remember what happened in it, except that, like, I didn't know who he was.
Uh-huh.
And I came home, and I was like, yeah, I got this really scary new scene partner.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was like, eh, who is it? And I said, he's a guy named Vito Antifermo. And my dad goes, the boxer? And I was like, no, I don't think so. He might have been a boxer. He's like, I think he is a famous boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And because he is.
Yeah.
And
so, okay.
Anyway, so Vito Antifermo, we established that he was.
Yeah,
and
a boxer, yeah.
Vito Antifermo called my house and was like, is Steve there?
And your dad's like, is this Vito Antifermo?
Well, my dad was like, he came and got me. He's like, Vito Antifermo is on the phone. And then the way he tells the story is like that he was so intimidated that my dad's knees were knocking together.
Right.
But Vito Antifermo told me some awesome stories about De Niro. He was like, you know, when I trained De Niro, I could have broken his fucking head. And he's like, but he came in there and he said, I want you to fight. I want you to go full freight with me. I want you to fight.
Okay.
Hard. And he's like,
this is De Niro saying that.
De Niro said that to Vito Antifermo.
Okay.
And anyway, so. But he said he always held off on him.
Okay.
Did he
palm you some money or something?
No. No, he didn't.
Okay.
But his acting was money.
Okay. There you go.
And so he won the middleweight championship, and then he defended his championship against Marvin Hagler.
Okay.
Anyway, so he that was.
Okay.
My.
All right. So let's go back to Charles Lowell, which I went off on a tangent with Charles Lowell.
Sure.
Understandable.
Yeah.
And so now you're the kid in Colorado.
So he says,
the cow thing happens.
The cow thing happens. I curb him, knock out all his teeth.
But in reality, you're embarrassed. You try turning red, right?
No, I wasn't embarrassed. I was into it.
Liked
it. It was funny. And it was like, look, you know, when you get singled out in a way that's like, it wasn't unflattering. It was more, but he was spotlighting me and saying, hey.
So it was one of those moments where you guys gave each other a nod, like a silent nod.
No silent nod. I definitely considered curbing him.
Okay.
It was weird. That's one of those times in your life where you're super insecure. Like, I had never been away from home. There I was in a strange place to a city kid.
Yep.
And he made a funny joke. And I laughed.
Right.
But it was very much like that because I was in the throes of my breakdancing days.
Yeah.
And, like, I had showed up there with, like, I had a huge boombox that actually had a turntable in it.
Okay. A turntable in the boombox?
Yeah.
So you would bring tapes and albums around? Or did it only play 45s?
No, it played real records, 33s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, well, you'd hit the button. I bought it because I was like, this thing's...
Yeah. What do we, like 50, 60 pounds?
50 pounds.
Okay.
At least. I had to carry it onto the plane. It was a pain in the
Radio
ass.
Radio Raheem.
Yeah. But except I couldn't lift it over my shoulder. It was like a foot wide at least.
Okay.
And you'd hit a button and a turntable would slide out.
Okay.
Which was one of the coolest parts.
Right.
And so it was like on my first, literally when I got to Fountain Valley, the people from, you know, Colorado and Texas, they'd never seen anything like this before.
Right, right.
It was like I had brought like a... Like a fucking...
What is this?
Yeah, they're all from Argentina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
what is this?
Vito Antefermo? But so like people were curious about the turntable.
Yeah.
And then it was one of those things where there was a crowd of people gathering outside my dorm room. People were like, you got to check this out.
Right, right.
Because there are also some returning students there.
Right. And was so, this after the cow remark? So like...
Yeah.
So that you know you're that guy, and then that's the guy with the turntable. He's the guy from New York.
New York City.
Okay, got it.
And then, so like, then I had met a couple people, and they're like, why do you have a turntable? I was like, oh, I'm a break dancer. And they were looking at my albums, and I was like, I had like Run DMC and like Houdini.
Right.
And Grandmaster Flash records.
Okay.
And then we had, then that night there was the dance.
Okay.
The new student dance, which, and a lot of like, you know, as you suspect, a lot of like returning students are there anyway to cruise for chicks.
Sure. The new kids.
The freshman girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was there, and some kids started breakdancing.
Okay.
And
Is it a Colorado kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the kids that I had met already, like one of the returning students was like, go show them what you got. And I went out there, and I breakdanced my ass off.
Okay.
And Anyway.
So like what? Like did you bump them off the floor, or was it just like a...
No, wait.
Oh, yeah? Check this out.
What you do is you just, like, you know, it's a dick move.
Right.
To challenge somebody to a breakdancing competition.
Sure.
You know, unless it's a sanctioned event. This was not. This is a kid who was having a good time, showing off his basic moves. And all of a sudden, like, I float out there.
Okay.
You
moonwalk out there?
No, moonwalk is backwards.
Okay.
I float, which was...
Is that forwards?
That's the sideways one.
Oh, okay, okay. So that's an actual move. You're not just saying you just kind of float out there. You're saying you did
no,
a move out
it's
there.
It's like a float is a glide.
Okay.
It's a sideways moonwalk. And it's like, if you're doing it well, it looks like you're just floating across
got
the floor.
Got it, got it.
And so I float out there and get it, and just start doing moves in his face. Yeah. And now people...
Everyone's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then you go to the dolphin?
I don't know what the dolphin is.
You know, when you go on the ground, you...
That's the earthworm.
On your chest?
That's the earthworm.
Oh, okay. I like to call it the dolphin.
Yeah.
Where I come from, they call it the dolphin.
Connecticut, yeah.
In Connecticut, they call it the dolphin.
They just call it what it looks like. The dolphin.
Yeah, it's a dolphin.
Anyway, so, you know, I made some friends, and I was forever known as the breakdancer. And then, like, the New York thing stuck with me. Like, they were doing Godspell that fall.
Okay.
And they wanted to make it have a street feel, and so they had me...
what does that mean? They wanted to make it have a street feel?
They just wanted to do, like, an urban version of Godspell.
Okay, out in Colorado Springs?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like set, like put it in like a playground set. So they had me do a graffiti Godspell on the back wall of the theater, like with spray paint and everything.
Okay, because you were a New York City kid and therefore knew how to do tags.
Well, I did know how to do tags.
Okay,
because my friend Andy Bellin and I, we used to, we must have talked about this. We used to tag.
Oh, you did. What was your tag?
I had a couple, but
okay.
the one that stuck with me was Ivory Search.
Ivory Search, S-E-A-R-C-H?
Yeah, because my original tag was Search.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
Because when I started breakdancing, the guys who taught me to breakdance were like, you should make it clear that you're white.
Okay.
So they went, Ivory,
who told you this?
Ivory Search. The guys who taught me to breakdance.
Okay. Were they white or black?
They were black.
Okay. Why Search? Is that like something, that's what you were doing, man?
Yeah, man, just
searching, dude.
Yeah, well, you know, people come up with a tag like.
Yeah. But that's like so like. It's like a verb. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, there's no rhyme or reason. You know, it's one guy had a like the most famous graffiti artist of that time was a guy named Zephyr.
Okay.
You know what a Zephyr is?
It's a breeze, a wind. Yeah,
a gentle wind.
Sure.
A gentle fucking breeze.
Okay.
And but then there was another.
And it wasn't Ivory Zephyr.
No, and he was white. Zephyr was white.
Okay. White Zephyr. Vanilla Zephyr.
Yeah. Yeah. Snowy Zephyr.
That's a pretty good Vanilla Zephyr. That's a pretty good name.
Yeah. V Zephyr.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I was whack.
Let's just
paint the picture. I was whack.
So, okay. Ivory Search. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Ivory Search. Cool.
But so I painted the Godspell.
Okay. And did you put a little Ivory Search tag just down in the corner? Just down, just a... you represent? No?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Anyway, so that was that's my experience in Colorado. I was there for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. You know, it definitely was one of those things where, like, you've been in the city your whole life, and now you're out really in the shadow of Pikes Peak.
Yeah.
NORAD.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing ice hockey out there.
Right.
And, you know, it was just fun times, man.
Sweet, dude. Speaking of ice hockey.
Oh, boy.
What?
We're going to talk the playoffs?
Oh, I was going to segue into our last weekend. But okay. Eventually you can segue into that.
Okay, let's do it. Let's talk about it.
I was talking about how we just got back from Canada.
Mm. I love Canada, man.
Oh, man, I had a great time. We were up in Calgary doing a club up there.
Yeah.
Laugh Shop. And, man, second time we were back there. Fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the Laugh Shop is great. The Canadian audiences are awesome because, like, they're just there really to have a good time.
Yeah. They like to drink and laugh.
Yeah.
Which fits our shows very well.
Yeah. And they're not too, like, hung up on shit.
Yeah.
Like, they just come to have a good time. And we found this... We've been all across Canada now. We've been in Toronto. We've been in Montreal, Calgary, Edmonton, all
Victoria.
Over British Columbia, yeah, Vancouver, yeah. Nanaimo, and Victoria.
Yeah.
We're going to Winnipeg.
Yep. We're going to Winnipeg in September.
Yep. And, it's just a great time. They're, you know,
I don't know that I've ever had a bad time in Canada.
No.
They like comedy up there.
Yeah, they really do. They really do. Like, were we at the Toronto Improv? We did a Broken Lizard show up there.
I think it was at the Second City Theater. Toronto
Second City?
Yeah.
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 And those were great shows.
Great shows. Yep.
And then now we've been to Calgary twice, and they've all been great shows.
We went to Montreal a couple times. Montreal was funny because I always... Well, we can get to the language barrier, but Montreal was probably the most significant, I felt, like, of the language situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like we did a show in Montreal and then afterwards realized that most of the people were French-speaking.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this the Broken Lizard show or the Heffernan Lemmy show?
Well, the Heffernan Lemmy show, and you remember that we came up with an opening bit. Remember that?
Yeah, tell it.
Yeah, so we had come up with, we realized that there are, you know, a lot of French-speaking people, and so we thought we'd make fun of it and do a little opening bit where, because you speak a little French,
oui,
right?
Je parle un peu de français.
Your mom was a French teacher, right?
Oui, je parle un peu de français.
You're so worldly. You speak all different kinds of languages.
Yeah, right? Cosmopolitan.
So wonderful.
Yeah.
And so the idea was I would say something, and then you would translate into French.
Yeah, this is during our opening monologue.
Opening monologue. And, you know, I don't think it's a revolutionary idea, but it was certainly, we had a fun time coming up with what we were going to say and
yeah.
The French things, and then, you know,
the idea,
little punches on the end.
The idea was that I didn't necessarily know what I was talking about.
Right,
that's
right.
That's all.
Right. So then what happens?
So we went to a couple of hours before our show.
Yep.
We were invited to the Craig Ferguson show. He was doing the International House of Comedy.
Right.
And our agent is his agent.
Yep.
And so we went. Oh, and our good friend Phil Catone, who used to be our tour manager, was right. Now starting to tour manage
Ferguson.
Craig yep. At the same yeah. At that time. And
that's
so,
who got us the good tickets.
Yeah. And yeah. So we went to the show.
And that show was huge. I mean, it's like probably 2,000 seat theater.
Yeah.
Like a really big comedy show.
It was the featured show.
Yeah.
And I think like HBO.
Yeah, they were filming it.
Yeah.
Yeah. CBC was filming it.
Yeah.
And whatever. Yeah. It was a big deal.
And then we were sitting there and he Craig Ferguson comes out and says, you know,
this is opening monologue.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't speak French, so I'm going to need the help of an interpreter, and brings out Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard walks onto the stage.
Yeah. And Eddie Izzard speaks flawless French.
Yeah.
And they do the same bit that we were planning on doing.
Exact same bit.
But much better.
Yeah. And with Eddie Izzard and Craig Ferguson.
Yeah. And it's killing.
Oh, killed.
And we're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We're about to go over to the, like, the 100-seat rock club, The Catacombs. It was called Les Catacombes. A little dungeon with skulls all over the wall. And,
yeah.
But ultimately, we decided to do it anyway.
Well, I mean, we're sitting in the audience, and we just immediately looked at each other and like, holy shit, can we do our opening?
Yeah.
The same exact opening was done 2 hours earlier on a bigger stage.
Yeah. But then we did.
Somebody would come to that show and to our show and be like, oh, what the fuck? These guys just stole yeah. The bit.
But I think we determined that nobody from that show was going
it's
to
true.
Be at our show.
It's true.
And it was okay to do it.
A lot of French speakers and probably like a lot of people from an older demographic than us.
Yeah.
Or not us, but old demographic, the catacombs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, the...
like, a lot of those people in those comfy theater seats weren't necessarily going to go over to the grunge club, you know?
Yeah. It didn't seem like there were too many Heffernan and Lemmy fans there.
Yeah.
But we went over there. We did our show. And it's true, there were a lot of the... you have run into...
Lost in translation moments.
A number of lost in translation moments.
And we've actually ended up working him into our bits when we do our bits up there. But like, you learn by trial and error what doesn't translate. And it's not a language thing. It's just a cultural thing. And you think there's not a big cultural difference. And there's not, but there are those little things that can fuck up a joke.
Like, tell me about, like, when we were traveling through British Columbia.
Yeah, so we did a week, which was a blast, last summer. And we went all through British Columbia. And so we did Victoria, Nanaimo, we did Vancouver. And had a great time. And I had been doing this bit about that I do, which I'm going to do in the show in Denver, about my wife being a gynecologist.
Yeah.
And how her being a gynecologist... doesn't really... It's awesome that she's a doctor, but it doesn't help me in any way because I don't have a vagina.
Right.
Right.
But
insert joke here.
Which you do. Okay.
And so, anyway, so I have this whole routine about it, and it all, usually goes pretty well. It's a good bit. I use it as my closer, you know?
Yeah.
And,
it kills, Kev. Just say it.
That's not my position to say. So, it does well, and so we start swinging through Canada, and it's not working. Like, the bit is not working.
To the tune of... zero laughs.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but very noticeable. And I'm like, oh my God, what happened? It's like, and when that happens to you, they all speak English.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the rug's getting pulled out of you because here's your thing. You know, this is your layup. You know, it's all going to work. And then you get to that bit, it doesn't work. And you're like, what the hell is going on? So we get to our last show in Vancouver after doing a week of shows in Canada. And, we're doing the line afterwards, the autograph line, that kind of shit. And some woman comes up and she's like, I just want to tell you, you know, we don't really have gynecologists in Canada. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, the GP, you know, your general practitioner does the most of your, does really all that. And the gynecologist is just a specialist. Like, most people don't see the gynecologist. And so it became clear to me that was why the bit didn't work, because I was functioning under the premise that all the women there in the audience and making jokes about their visits to the gynecologist, and little did I know that the medical system was slightly different in Canada.
Yeah, and yet they still have the gynecologist.
They have it, so you can kind of make the joke, and they kind of know what you're... They're giving you enough of a response that you know what you're talking about, but it's just not the same cultural situation.
Yeah.
Where, like, I literally, in my bit, I say to the crowd... All right, how many women, when they went to their gynecologist, blah, 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 you know? And I would get crickets.
Well, it was funny.
In the States, I would be like, ah, yeah.
I feel like you might have forgotten that this time, because we had that one show, I think it was one of the first shows here in Calgary, where you said it, and literally not one woman answered you. And you were like, nobody, anybody, male gynecologist, and nothing still. And you're like, nobody?
Right.
And left you in a difficult position out there because nobody would respond to your call.
Well, because that was because, like, so, like, when we got there the first day, somebody said to me, we got gynecologists, you know, it's just they're actually the ones who deliver the babies, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll just try it again.
Yeah.
And so I tried it and then found out that was not the case.
I like your Canadian accent.
Thanks, eh?
Hey.
Thanks, eh?
But that was, you know, sometimes it works to your advantage because, like, we did, you know, we've been telling a story about, the making of Beer Fest, or how he came up with the idea for Beer Fest, and one of the elements is a gigantic fellow, and we go through his dimensions of how tall he is, how much he weighs, and you did the conversion to metrics for the crowd,
right?
So I would say he was, you know, 6'8", and you would say
203 centimeters,
and then I would say 320 pounds,
145 kilograms,
and then I would say and a shaved head,
and I'd say bald head, eh?
Which got a huge laugh,
but like. I think we learned that the last time we were in Canada because the last story we did had distances also, like miles and things like that.
Yeah.
And we realized, which is a funny thing, and you don't think about it, you're doing your show and you're talking about so many miles, so many pounds, such so much, you know, the height or whatever, and then you start to realize, oh shit, I got to change all this stuff.
Well, because that was, I remember, like, I used to, in the Fat Man Little Boy special, I told a story about getting pulled over by the cops, going 120 miles an hour.
Exactly, that was, yeah.
I remember in Canada, I said, you know, 120 miles an hour, I got nothing.
Yeah.
And when I converted
it to... Didn't mean anything to them.
Yeah. To them, it's driving really slow.
They get the metric system.
Yeah. They're like, oh, so he just drives the speed limit? When I said 240 kilometers per hour, yeah, then you would hear like, ooh. But that makes sense, though. It's like when we are flying out to Canada, yeah, for instance,
yeah,
the pilot was like, okay, and the temperature on the ground, eh, is 23.
21. Yeah, you're like, what?
It's like 23. It's fucking freezing.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it's Celsius.
Yeah.
You know, we should... I think it would be nice if the world just got on the same page.
Right.
But here's the problem.
Yeah.
We're the only ones who aren't on the world's page.
I like our page, though.
Our page is fucking great.
I like our page.
Pounds.
But they got other stuff up there that's, you know, like, there's slight changes. Like, you can't make a DVR joke because they call it PVR. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it was on the PVR last night, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, the PVR, that beer?
Yeah.
Is that a beer?
And I remember you were trying to find ESPN on the TV.
They didn't have it.
Well, because they have three other channels that are exactly like ESPN, but they just have a different name. Yeah. A Canadian name.
Yeah. You know? Well, they had, and they were playing like...
It's like Shaw Sports, eh?
Yeah. And they're playing like, you know, oh, it's the big lacrosse tilt.
No, but the funny thing was, I think you were trying to see some hockey coverage, and when you found those sports stations, that's all there was.
Yeah. I was actually trying to watch the Heat game.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't find it anywhere.
That's because there's no heat up there, bro.
Hey.
What's up?
Now, that is the beauty of Canada, though, is I like how simple they keep things.
They do.
You know, like, where we were in Calgary, they have two seasons. They've got winter and warm winter.
Right. Right. Because cold's the new hot up there.
Exactly. But that is funny, because it's like, we were there first in October.
Yeah.
Like, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a blizzard.
A blizzard.
Like, you, the whole time.
But unlike a lot of places, they didn't give a shit.
No, we were concerned that it was going to hurt us, but yeah, in fact, it drove people to the club.
Yeah, people wanted something to do during the blizzard.
There's nothing going on, eh?
Yeah, get in a truck and get over there.
Yeah, come on. What are you, namby-pamby? And then this time, we landed, it's June.
Yeah.
We, like, landed June 5th or whatever it was, and it was freezing.
Yeah.
So, but not as cold. There was no snow, but it was super cold.
It was cold. But it was also fun because they did some things for us this time that based on us being there last time. Like, I think last time we were there, we made a ton of poutine jokes.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things you do when you go do stand-up gigs is, like, usually on, like, Friday morning or Thursday morning, you'll go do, like, morning press so that you can publicize your shows that weekend. So you'll do all the radio and, you know, if they have, like, little TV news shows and things like that. And so we went to this TV news show, this morning show.
Daily Breakfast, yeah.
Right, and they, based on us having talked about it last time, a year and a half, 2 years ago, they actually got poutine for us.
Yeah.
To eat during the segment.
Yeah.
And I was a little scared about
that. Yeah, well, you know, poutine, if people haven't had it, you know, it's a heavy dish.
It's a heavy, heavy dish.
It's
like a heart attack dish.
Yeah.
You know?
It's French fries with curdled cheese and gravy.
Yep.
Hot.
Mm-hmm.
You and I had different poutines.
Well, that's the thing. They, you know, up there, there's like poutineries.
Yeah.
Which I love. And it's like a delicacy. And so they have different kind. And there's this one, I think it was called like Smokes Poutinery or something.
Smokies? Something like that.
And so they had all different kinds. And so for some reason, I got the vegetable one.
Yeah.
So it had onions and peppers and things like that. And you got the meat one.
I got the breakfast one. So it had bacon.
Ugh.
Which was fantastic.
Right. I wish I had that one.
Yeah.
But regardless, I mean, it's the kind of thing like you get up that early in the morning. That's the last fucking thing you want
to
put in you.
Well, your heart's just getting started.
Yeah.
You don't want to stop it.
I mean, but you are still kind of hungry.
Oh, we were hungry.
And then you're on camera, and they want you to eat it.
Yeah.
Like, it would look stupid if you sat there and didn't eat it.
Well, it'd be like, you know, when Indiana Jones is telling the actress, what was her name,
Allen.
Karen Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, or no, it was actually, he was telling it to Kate Capshaw. He's like,
oh, in the
you're offending me.
Right.
Because she's not eating the flies.
Right.
And that's the way, if you refuse the poutine, it'd be like you slap them across the face.
Then they'd curb you, eh?
You're offending me, eh?
This is our the delicacy of our country, eh?
Yeah, this is our national meal, eh?
Eat it, eh?
Or will you? Do you remember what happened the first time we were on that Daily Breakfast Show back the first time we were in Calgary? You remember who we met?
Yeah, we met Ken Dryden.
Ken Dryden. And you remember, and the hostess of the show.
Yeah, Tara Sloan.
Tara Sloan.
Yeah.
Was a flutter.
Because of Ken Dryden.
Because of Ken Dryden.
Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, because...
Tell him who Ken Dryden is.
He is a famous...
Famous.
Famous goalie.
Goalie. NHL.
Famous NHL goalie. And...
And who did he play for? The Canadiens?
He played for the Canadiens, yeah.
Okay.
God, I hope he played for the Canadiens. Oh, we're going to sound pretty stupid.
But you would know.
I would.
That's why you were so excited to be up there, right? It was like, it's Stanley Cup time, and you're in fucking Canada.
Well,
even though the Stanley Cup's being played here.
Yeah, exactly. But they have, you know, it's like they have, I mean, they have such a rich, like, first of all, when we were driving from Victoria up to Nanaimo.
Yeah.
They had that, like, the biggest hockey stick in the world.
Right.
We were driving by.
It's like the biggest ball of yarn or the biggest ball of cheese.
Yeah.
But they have the biggest hockey stick.
Yeah, we're driving around. We're like, holy shit, look at the size of that hockey stick.
That's the biggest hockey stick I've ever seen.
And turns out, oh, yeah. No, that's the home of the biggest hockey stick in the world.
Now, the biggest puck in the world is about 50 miles up the road.
Oh, yeah.
We're hoping to get them together at some point.
Yeah, you know. We're going to call it... shit, I wish I had a good joke for that. But yes. I bet there is a biggest puck in the world.
I'm sure there is. I mean, there definitely is.
There's got to be. Was it not on the end of the stick?
No, I think it was just a stick.
No, I can't remember.
Which they were like, oh, yeah, it's from the Great Expo of 1988, and we moved the stick from Edmonton down to Victoria, and it was a big deal. Ooh.
Is that actually what they said, or are you...
There was something like
are
that.
Are you fabricating?
No, the stick came from somewhere else where there was some, like, World's Fair or something like that. I don't know. Or it might have been the Olympics.
Okay.
Were the Olympics, they were in Calgary, right, at one point?
In 1988.
Yeah, they moved the stick from Calgary down to
that becomes a little more accurate, because otherwise it sounds like the reverse would be if, like, a Canadian was talking about his, on his podcast, was talking about his experience in New York.
Right.
And he's talking about the Statue of Liberty. And he's like, oh, yeah, and then, you know, we saw it, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's like it's a statue, it's a gift from, like, the Egyptians or something, I don't even know.
I don't think that that large hockey stick quite, you know, holds the same thing.
That's what you think.
I guess so.
That's what you think.
I guess so.
Trivia question.
Ugly American.
Trivia question. Yeah. What's the national sport of Canada?
Hockey.
No.
Curling.
No.
I don't know what.
Lacrosse.
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 Okay.
It was hard. I mean, it's nice to be in Canada. It is interesting because they love ice hockey so much.
Yeah.
Like, during your set.
Yeah, I know.
I would be watching the Rangers because that's my team.
Yeah.
Play the Kings.
Right.
Very frustrating.
Sorry.
So far.
I apologize.
And, well, it's not over yet.
It ain't over yet, baby.
It's down 3-0.
That's right.
The Kings were behind 3-0 to the Sharks, and they've come back.
Okay.
And look where they are now. That was the first round.
All right.
Look
Sharks didn't have no Jonathan Quick, though, in the net, did they?
The Rangers were down 3-1 to the, Penguins.
Okay.
And look where they are, too. And they've got Henrik Lundqvist in the net.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway.
I'm rooting for him.
My point is, I was watching the games while you were performing.
Yes.
And it's like the waitresses in the bar were watching the TV and really into it. And which is always...
God, that must have given you a hard-on.
It did. It did. Talk about the biggest stick in Canada, you know what I'm saying? No, but it's like, you know, here in the States, you don't find that many women who are that passionate about ice hockey the way they were there. In fact, one of them, like the bartender, was like, oh man, look at this, the Kings, man, I hope they win. And I was like, really? She's like, well, you don't find too many people rooting for the Rangers around here, eh? And I was like, I'm a Rangers fan. She's like, get out of here. I was like, I'm serious. And so then, you know, but she was a delight. That was Dorianne.
Sure.
A good Canadian girl.
Sure, sure.
Rooting for
the Kings, though.
Rooting for the Kings. And it actually reminded me of the last time, interestingly, the last time the Rangers won the Cup was in 1994.
Yeah.
The same year that the World Cup of Soccer was being held in the United States.
Right, I remember that.
And my dad and I were going to a game at the Meadowlands. We were, we were taking the bus out to the Meadowlands, and I was sitting next to some dudes from Montreal, some older dudes.
Okay.
And we started talking about hockey.
French? In French?
No, but they were definitely French-Canadians.
Okay, okay.
And we were talking hockey, and I was talking about the Rangers, because the Rangers had just won.
Right.
It was June. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, the Canadians won last year, just so you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, well, that was then, this is now. We're the champions. And he's like, okay, but the Canadians have a rich history with hockey. Okay, we won a lot of Stanley Cups. I was like, yeah, but the Rangers got it now. And he's like, you don't know a goddamn thing about hockey. You don't know shit about hockey tradition. And he's yelling at me, and at the end of it, I'm still like, yeah, except I know that the Rangers won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
But I was about to get into a fight with like two 60-year-old...
Then they took their teeth out.
Yeah.
And pulled your sweater over your head, eh?
Yeah, except, you know, my dad also has falsies, and he took his teeth out.
Right. He got his in a soccer game as opposed to a hockey game.
Yeah, no, my dad's false teeth came from gnawing on Argentinian sugar cane his whole life.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they just rotted out?
Yeah.
We didn't have dentists.
They didn't.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, they didn't, Kevin.
Okay, I'm sorry.
They all shared one book in school, too.
Oh, really?
Thanks so much.
The good book.
Yeah, the Bible. The word of the Lord. Okay, so...
The reason that they gave us that poutine back at that show was because it's mentioned in the opening scene of Super Troopers.
Yeah.
Which is also connected to Canada.
Yes.
Right? That's a true story.
Well,
have we told that story on the podcast about the idea for the...
God, I hope not, because we're about to tell it again.
Okay. I don't think we have, so I think we should.
Except it's so notorious, I feel like we must have.
Well, let's tell it.
Okay, let's just tell it anyway.
I mean, we're musing on Canada and poutine.
Okay.
That's exactly... fits into this.
Well, it's funny because, like, so the inspiration for the location of Super Troopers came from a friend of ours' house.
Yeah.
That was right on the border of Vermont and Canada, like, of the, you know, French Canada, the Quebec region.
Right.
And we used to cross the border, which literally was a 5-minute drive.
Yeah.
You'd cross the border, go to the duty-free shop, get Cuban cigars, and get stronger beer.
Right. And... weird pornography.
Well, we'd go, you know, see, that's what, and that is leading to the next thing. We would go, like, a lot of times we would go up to the strip clubs, and the best you could hope for in this area was this, like, dual sex co-ed
okay.
strip club.
What do you mean the best you could hope for? What do you mean by that?
Well, the nearest one to where we were.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, what you're hoping for.
No, yeah.
Was
some man-on-man action. Right. But that's what it was. It was male and female strippers.
Right. Hey, a little something for everybody.
A little something for everybody. And, you know, you'd fuck around with your buddy and be like, oh my God, look at that stripper there. Yeah. And he'd turn and look, and there'd be an uncircumcised dick in his face.
Right.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So it was a friend of ours who was getting married at his bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided we were going to go hit some of those dual sex strip clubs.
Sure.
And so... We got an RV and we were heading up over the border.
Right.
And
from Vermont into Canada.
From Vermont into Canada.
A lot like the opening scene of Super Troopers.
Yeah, sure. And okay. What happens at the border is they ask you some questions and, you know, what are you doing here? You tell them and they send you on your way.
Right. Now, since Super Troopers.
Yes.
We always have an easy time getting through the border.
True.
But this is before Super Troopers. Like now, like just coming back through customs.
Yeah.
Like, the dude was like, the customs dude was like, hey, Farva.
Yeah.
Come on through.
Both ways. Remember, when we were going in, actually, we had a funny thing where I was like, there were two lanes opening up, and I was like, I'm going to get that stoner dude, because I bet he's a fan.
Right.
And you got a harder ass, maybe.
Yeah. Woman.
Tougher woman.
Yeah.
And the stoner dude was like, oh, no way. Oh, man, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, I'm doing a comedy show in Calgary at the Laugh Factory. He's like, okay, okay, the beauty, eh?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you should come by. He's like, oh, okay, when are they? And I said, and he's like, okay, I'm going to try to get there.
Yeah.
And then I walked through, and then you caught up, and you're like, did they make you get a work permit? And I was like, no. And you're like, the woman said I have to get a work permit. And then you walked into that...
right, into the longest line in the world.
Yeah, and I kept walking.
Yeah.
And I feel like you wanted me to stay with you on the line.
No, I just wanted to, like... There's no reason I need to get a work permit if you don't need to get a work permit.
Right.
So, like, I'm not standing in that line. Because I've been to Canada before. I've never had to get a work permit before.
Yeah.
And the woman, she said to me as I was walking over there, she's like... I'm not exactly sure of the rule, but they'll tell you in there.
Right.
And I'm like, you can't do that.
Yeah,
you can't say that to me.
Didn't she say, like, I think you have to get
I'm not 100% sure, but in there they'll know.
All right, and then she said, and if it's a problem, just come back here and I'll go with you, we'll figure it out.
Right, and so I walked in, immediately turned back around to her, and I was like, I don't... And then the dude came over, your dude came over.
Yeah.
And he waved me on.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. He's cool.
Yeah.
And then let me go.
Yeah. But the first time, so back in
yeah.
In Vermont.
Right. We had not made Super Troopers yet.
We had not made Super Troopers. We get to the border, and it's really, it's just like a like, hey, what's your business here? We're going and get, we're going to the strip clubs. You be honest with them, and they're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happened was they saw a joint on the windshield.
Okay. In the Winnebago.
In the Winnebago.
In the Winnebago.
Yeah, they saw a joint just sitting on the windshield that somebody had just overlooked.
Oh, boy.
And they said, okay, what have we here? And the driver's like, I don't know. And they said, whose is this? Now, there's a bachelor party of like 13 or 14 dudes.
Sure.
And so they said, all right.
It's not an accident that it's there.
Oh, it's not an accident.
I mean, it's an accident that it's there, but I mean, saying like, it's not like somebody left it in the Winnebago. The previous owner left it in the Winnebago or something.
Yeah. You know, but meanwhile, now there's a kid in the back who's holding the mushrooms for all.
Okay. What's he got back there?
He's got a bag of mushrooms for enough for 14 people.
Okay.
And so he just started eating. And they're like, whose is this? Somebody's got to claim this thing.
Yeah.
And he's all the way in the back pounding mushrooms.
Oh,
now,
my God.
Because he can see what's going to happen. And they say, all right, everybody off. We're going to put you in a holding cell until we figure out what's going on here. He's the last one off, and he has eaten all the mushrooms.
14 guys worth of mushrooms.
Yeah, just pounded them.
Right.
And
if it was the equivalent of one large mushroom, like what do you think that would look like? Like the size of your head?
I think it would be the size of your head.
Okay.
And but yeah, it was. He ate a lot of mushroom. Yeah. We got in the holding cell, and they said, we're not making a move until somebody cops who fesses up to whose joint this is.
Right.
And meanwhile, they're searching the RV.
Yeah.
And
ripping it apart.
Ripping it apart.
Yeah.
And so, meanwhile, this poor kid is just, we're in there for 3 or 4 hours. His pupils, his eyes are black.
Right.
His eyes are dilated. He's tripping balls. And finally, his big brother was like, fuck it. And he said, it's my joint.
Right.
And they said, okay, well, then you're not allowed back in Canada for 7 years, eh?
That was the punishment.
We were like, what?
They're so nice in Canada.
Yeah, god damn it.
That's it. You can't come back here for like 7 years.
Turn your Winnebago around and go do your thing there.
Yeah. Don't bring your joint over here.
Yeah. Eh? And so that we just wound up, turned around, went back into Vermont. And the kid tripped for 2 days straight, 48 hours.
Yeah.
And when he came down... he didn't really remember anything.
Right.
The one thing he said was that his cheeks really hurt from smiling the entire time. But so that was...
What's nice is that he had a good time then.
He had a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think that he would have had the worst time, but maybe he had the best time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of all the guys there.
Yeah. The one thing that I do remember was that about that thing was that he... There was a double dock.
Okay.
And
what do you mean, double dock?
It was like...
It's like a double dick?
It was like a dock, and then you would take like a couple steps down, and then there was another dock.
Okay, where? Oh, like on the water, on a lake?
At Zach's house, at the lake
house. Okay, okay.
And he, at some point, like got up and ran, and was like cannonball, and started running to the dock, and he dove off the top dock.
Okay.
And just landed on the second dock. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
He didn't,
that's a good one.
He didn't remember that one.
Okay. He did that when he was shrooming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he had no memory of that.
Seems like any mistake anyone could make.
It could. It was dark.
Right.
It was dark.
I don't know if they would even kick you out of Canada anymore for bringing a joint in with it.
Well, it was...
Is it legal or no? Like, much like Colorado, is it legal in Canada?
Well, in British Columbia, we learned when we were there that it's not legal, but they don't care.
Okay.
Like, they don't... we even looked it up on Wikipedia because we were like, is this legal here?
Yeah. Because it seemed like no one gave a shit.
Well, because I remember when we were in Calgary the first time, do you remember that, like, my neighbor... we were walking back to the room. We were staying in the same hotel as the club.
Like, the hotel rooms were upstairs from the club, yes.
And so... And this isn't to say, you know... It's like a sleazy operation. This is actually a fantastic hotel and a fantastic comedy
club.
It's
a great place,
And that first time we were there, we actually never left the hotel. Because the weather...
it was winter,
Because of the blizzard. So we were happy that it was so nice.
And frankly, this last time we never left the hotel either.
It's true. And
nice hotel.
Yeah. But we were walking back to my room just to hang out. Yeah. We always like to commiserate after each show.
After the show. Go over our notes.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, a dude... walked by, and he was a fan right as we were walking into the hotel room.
Right.
And he was my neighbor.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Guy, hey, can I just, hold on, please let me just hang out with you for one second. I got to show you something." Right. And he said, "Would you let me come hang out with you if you knew I had this?" And he pulled out what is easily the most amount of marijuana I've ever seen in one bag.
It was like a garbage bag of marijuana.
Yeah.
That for some reason he had. Or was he bringing it from somewhere or something?
Well, he had driven from British Columbia to Calgary with it, but he was on a work trip, remember? Because he was waiting for somebody to meet him.
Right, that's why he was staying in the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he had it in his book bag. He had a book bag full of weed.
Yeah.
And then he told us that, like, in British Columbia, they don't really give a shit about it.
Yeah.
And then when we went there, we certainly found that out.
I think you told a part of that wrong, though, in the sense that, like, wasn't it like the dude was following us in the hotel? And then he was like, hey, I want to show you something. And we were trying to avoid it a little bit. And then he was like, no. And then he walked to his room, which happened to be right next door to our room.
Okay, was that what it was?
Yeah. It was something, like, ridiculous, like... Like, we weren't really sure if the guy was a stalker or who he was.
Yeah.
And then he led us to his room, which is actually right next door to your room or my room.
Yeah. Like, I could see his door through my eye hole.
Right.
And you could see his door through your a-hole. What up?
I had a weird stalkery guy this time.
Tell me about it.
As if you have not heard this story before?
I've heard it, but tell me again, because I want the others to hear.
The thing is, I wish I could do the guy's accent, because it was like, it wasn't quite German, but it was more like...
because he's not Canadian.
He was not Canadian. I mean, he may be now or something, I don't know, but he was... He was a very clean-cut, like, Madras shirt-wearing, khaki-pant-wearing-looking guy.
Okay.
Probably like 25 or 26.
Okay, where did this happen? Where did you watch this?
We're at this at the comedy club.
Okay.
The Laugh Shop.
Yeah.
And he had like an accent, like it was kind of like this.
Oh, he spoke
it was
like...
kind of like German.
Gunter
Schlicker? Yeah, kind of Gunter, but it was probably more like... I don't know.
So anyway...
yours is more of like a German-Spanish.
Yeah, his was more German, like Eastern Bloc.
Okay.
So, okay, so anyway... So you were doing your set, and I had to use the men's room.
Okay, because you were pissing your pants laughing so hard?
Yeah, because I didn't want to piss my pants anymore, because you were so funny.
Thank you.
And so at this club, they didn't have a bathroom for the comic. It was communal bathrooms for the whole place. And so I was going to avoid that bathroom, because that's always... I joked about it with Chris Gordon, our opener, but like, it's hard when the bathroom is in the club during the show. Because, like, I finished my set, I run to the bathroom, and then there's people in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I specifically avoid the bathroom to not have a conversation in the bathroom. And so I went out farther and down the hotel hallway to use a different bathroom, which has usually been empty. So I went down there, and as I'm walking in, this guy's walking out. Probably like 25, 26 years old, like I said, clean-cut looking guy. And as I walk in, we make eye contact, and he's like, "Hey!" And I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "Yeah, you're very funny." And I was like, "Oh, thank you. Thanks very much." And so he's on his way out. I'm on my way in. I walk to the urinal, and I start to take a piss. And I turn around. Now he has come back into the bathroom.
Mm.
And he's not pissing or anything. He's just standing in the middle of the bathroom floor watching me piss.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
How far away?
I would say 3 or 4 feet away.
That's close.
Well, it's not a big bathroom. It's not like a cavernous bathroom.
It's Canadian. Probably, it's Canadian.
Yeah, it was like one of those like... One of those, like, two urinal and a stall bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And so...
So he's near.
So he's pretty close. Like, he goes, "Very funny." I was like, thank you. He goes, "Can I get an autograph?" And I was like, you know, I was trying to be very nice. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm kind of busy right now." You know, and he's like, "Ha." And I was like, but I tell you what, after the show, we come out and we do autographs and pictures and whatever. So why don't we do it after the show?
He's like, yeah, okay.
And then he just stood there. While I continued to piss.
Weird.
And then it was awkward. It was silent.
Then it was. It's right? Been awkward the whole time.
Yeah. And so he goes, then all of a sudden he goes,
"Have you seen Frozen?"
And I was like, what? He goes,
"Frozen. Have you seen the movie Frozen?"
And I was like, yeah. And he goes,
"Let it go."
And I was like, yeah, great. He goes, "Yeah, let it go. The song, right?" And I was like, yeah. And he goes, "Oh, people love that movie." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, my kids love it." He goes, "Not just kids. Adults love it, too." And I was like, yeah, they do. And he goes, "It's made billions and billions of... And I go, "Dollars?" And he goes, "Yeah, billions of dollars."
I remember when you told me the story for the first time.
Yeah.
I was getting annoyed with you because I was like, "The word's dollars, Kev.
Yeah, it's dollars." That's what I'm saying. Now I'm still pissing. The guy's standing there over my shoulder.
by the way, long piss.
Yeah, well. So anyway, I finish, and I walk over to the sink, and now he's just standing looking at me. He goes, pulls out his phone, he goes, "Can we do a Snapchat?" And I was like, really? We take pictures after the show or whatever. Now I'm like washing my hands, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, "I know it sounds really gay, but I'd love to take a Snapchat with you."
And yeah. I was like, okay.
I bet he meant gay like happy.
I don't know what he meant, because I didn't know what the fuck the guy was talking about.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get away from him.
Yeah.
And so we take a Snapchat.
Yeah.
And we walk out of the bathroom.
Arms around each other? Because you have to get in close, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a selfie, you know? It's a selfie Snapchat.
Oh, thing. Creepy. A bathroom selfie. That sucks.
Yeah. And so now, like, I walk out, and he follows me all the way. And he's asked me about, like, the comedy show and blah, blah, blah. And finally, I was just like, and I just bolted and I walked into the thing.
No goodbye?
No.
No hugging?
No. But afterwards, we're doing the autograph line, and he just came out of nowhere. Like, he didn't stand in the line. He came sideways at me, and he goes, "The Snapchat didn't work. Can I take another Snapchat with you?" Oh, and God. I was like, okay. And we took another Snapchat.
I mean, but you know, who cares if it didn't work? It's only going to last for 7 seconds, isn't that right?
I guess so. I don't even know. But that was a creepy bathroom experience. He wanted to know what I thought about Frozen. For some reason. Isn't that a weird thing to ask somebody while they're taking a piss?
It is. It is. I mean, maybe he saw it on the airplane over or something like that. And
I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
What was this German doing in Calgary?
Don't know. I don't know. I didn't even know if he was in the show. I don't even know I don't know where he came from.
He came
weird.
From...
He came from somewhere.
From Germany.
Weirdness.
Is Frozen the movie with the song Happy in it, too?
No, that's in Despicable Me 2.
Oh, okay.
See, I know all that stuff.
Yeah, but because you haven't even seen Frozen, right?
I haven't seen Frozen. My kids have seen it like 3 times.
Yeah, they love that shit.
But I have dodged it. Not that I, you know, whatever. I like those animated movies, but I just haven't seen it.
Listen, you know, my kid is 2 now. I'm looking forward to the day when I can go see movies with them.
Well, that's kind of what I was like. I was like, I had realized that there's a lot of animated movies that I hadn't seen. You know, like The Lion King, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that it was going to happen. And then you end up watching them ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you better hope they're good.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, and they write jokes for the adults in
them. Right. Sure.
Yeah.
So that it appeals to you.
Yeah. Wow, that's creepy. That's a creepy story.
Yeah. Creepy game.
You're lucky it ended well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Canadian guys are all... I mean, Canadian people are generally nice. You end up just getting wasted with them.
Frankly, I don't remember having any negative experience ever in Canada when it comes to fans or anything. Like, in fact, we talked about it after our British Columbia stuff. Like, people were so nice. Like, the girl who brought us the bakery.
Yeah.
The baked... not pot stuff, just baked goods.
Yeah.
Cupcakes and cookies and things like that.
Delicious.
Like, that was so nice.
Yeah.
You know, we had the poutine on the set was still a wonderful memory.
Great.
Even though we were nervous about it.
Even though I, like, felt like I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah. You actually, there's another funny thing which happened after the Friday night show. When, you know, because we had this thing where, like, we would eat dinner before the early show, which was 7 o'clock. So we would eat dinner at, like, 5 or 5:30.
Yeah.
And then we partied pretty late on Friday night.
Right.
And you and... the opener.
Yep, Chris Gordon.
Chris Gordon.
Yep.
And me went back to my hotel room.
Yeah.
To hang out. And I went to sleep.
No, you didn't. You passed out.
What I meant to say was I passed out. And but, you know, I could have just as easily have gone to sleep at that. It was like 3:30 in the morning.
I guess so. But you also leave out the fact that you had kind of blacked out in the bar at that point.
Yes.
Right?
True.
And that you don't remember going from the bar back to your room.
Yeah, that's I feel like it's the final. But you know, it's funny. I was telling my wife about it. I was like, she's like, "Why did that happen?" I was like, "You know,
it was shots, man.
It's been such a long time. People were sending shots onto the stage.
Yep.
And we had just forgotten that we don't do that.
Well, the other thing was though, was that the hockey game night or no?
It was not the hockey.
No, it wasn't. Well, but it was maybe the basketball. You went and watched something during my set in the bar, and then people were giving you shots.
What it was, Chris Gordon and I went next door to the bar just to hang out.
Oh, okay.
And because usually there's nobody in there. They're all in the show.
Yeah.
And a dude followed us out.
Okay.
And got us shot.
German did?
No, it was...
Have you seen Frozen?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Let it go.
Oh, man, the Lion King, the circle of life. But yeah, shots. And then Chris Gordon sent us shots on stage.
Yep.
And then
there's a lot of shots.
And then afterwards, we had friends at the show.
Yep.
And so we wound up just drinking a lot of alcohol.
Yeah. And but the thing that happened to me, though, is kind of part of what Canada's all about, though. I think it's like, not what it's all about, but it's, you know, certainly Calgary, there's more kind of frontier land up there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could be in this awesome hotel in this comedy club, but still kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know? And so anyway, we got back to the hotel. You passed out. We listened to tunes. We got a noise complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, we called it. Like, let's go. And so now it's probably like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe a little later, maybe 3:30, I don't know. And I realized I haven't eaten in 8 hours or whatever it is.
That's a long time.
For me.
That's a long time for anyone.
Yeah, let alone me.
Let alone you.
And so I'm like, oh, man, I'm so hungry. Maybe I'll just grab a bite to eat somewhere. So I check around the hotel, nothing. No vending machines, no snack thing, no gift shop, none of that shit. Nothing. Mm-hmm. No room service. And so I'm like, ah, whatever, fuck it. I'll just walk outside. There's got to be like a gas station or convenience store.
Now, let's just something. Remind everybody, this is your first time ever outside of the hotel.
No. We went out and did press and stuff like that.
Okay.
We drove around to the
place. I mean, this is the first time your feet have ever...
Yes, it's the first time I've explored the area around the hotel. And so now it's 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I walk outside my hotel, and I'm like, looking, I scan, nothing. No convenience stores, no gas stations. I'm like, that's kind of weird, because there's like a highway, there's all kinds of... You know, I'm like, where the fuck are the gas stations? And so I was like, oh, whatever, I'll walk down this road here, I've got to hit a gas station. And so I started walking, and... I got probably like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes on my walk. Nothing. And now I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, fuck this. I'm not going to start walking and come up empty-handed. I'm just going to keep going until I find something.
Determination.
Right. So I kept walking. And then there was a Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
Which they have in Canada. It's like a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
And the lights are on. And I went up and I said 24 hours. And I went up and said 24-hour drive-thru. So I tried to do the drive-through thing, but then there's nobody there. Like, but walk-through.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
That old trick.
Yeah, that didn't work. So I walked on, and I kept walking, and then finally I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to go back to the hotel. I'm going to go down another road. And so I walked back to the hotel, and I went down another road. And now I'm like, I am not going back to that hotel until I find something to eat.
Yeah.
And I kept walking, and I kept walking, and finally I fucking turned around and walked back. It was about 4:30. I was out for an hour. Walking around trying to find, and I never found anything.
And, you know, the irony is that you're just burning calories. You must have been starving.
Burning calories, and it's better for me that I didn't eat anything.
Yeah.
Way better for me.
So you were motivated by the wrong choice.
That's right.
And you actually wound up having a healthy benefit.
Yeah, and the other thing was, I don't know if you want to get into this or anything, but my wife got me this Fitbit.
Yeah, do it. Talk about it.
You know what the Fitbit is?
I do. I have one.
You do?
I do.
How come you don't wear it?
Well, I got a better thing.
Oh, you got a thing?
But keep going.
Okay. Well, she got me this bracelet, this Fitbit bracelet, so I wear it on my wrist.
Yeah.
And then what it turns out is that she can monitor my exercise when I go on the road.
Well, that's the amazing thing. So it's reporting back to her computer.
Well, it's not. It's like you go, you make friends. Like you, it's like Twitter or
it's Spotify.
Facebook.
It's a Spotify.
Yeah, it's like you link together with your friends, and then you compete against your friends.
Okay.
But that means your friends can see what you're doing.
Right.
So it turns out my wife got this for me to check up on me.
Yeah.
And so anyway, here I am drunk, walking around trying to find food for an hour. My Fitbit's going off the charts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like my best Fitbit day. You know what I mean? And I get home and I didn't have any, but my Fitbit was rocking it, man.
Did she ask you?
Fitbit, it measures your steps. It measures how many steps you take in a day. And then tells you how much exercise you've gotten in a day.
That's why the question I have is, did she notice that your exercise had spiked at 4 o'clock in the morning?
She didn't look at the time, but she did comment on, because I also, when I finally woke up, I went to the gym. So it was like a double thing. And so it was like my biggest Fitbit day was that day. And she's like, oh my God, what a day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, tell me about it.
I know. Well, it is. It is good. Does it monitor your steps on the stage when you're doing stand-up?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the other thing. Like, I always knew that I'd get, like, a couple thousand steps.
Yeah.
during the two shows.
How many calories get burned during the
show? I don't know exactly how many calories, but there were a couple thousand steps. So during the two shows.
See, I had my wife got me a Fitbit.
And is it the one you wear on your wrist or no?
It was one that you attached it to your clothes.
Okay.
And it would come with you. It was like a chip.
Yeah, right. That's another card, yeah.
And I found it a little frustrating because it would only tell you the steps and it could give you an approximation of the distance.
Okay.
Traveled. And so actually what she then got me was a runner's watch with a GPS in it.
Okay.
And then, you know, so when you go outside, you hit a button and it locates the satellites.
Okay.
And then it gives you a 100% accurate.
Okay. But you like this because it's a competition thing and you love competitions. So it's like I have like four or five people on there, including my brother and my wife, and you compete to who actually works out more in the day, and that makes you work out more.
Sure.
Like the other night, one of our friends, one of my wife's friends and our friends has it, and my wife came home from work and she realized she was at a couple of thousand steps behind her. She went outside and walked around the block until she caught up.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Now what about, here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really do this on the Fitbit, but like you hit the treadmill in Calgary.
Yeah.
How does it measure? I mean, you're taking steps there. Does it measure that?
Oh, yeah. It's the motion of your hand.
Oh, okay. So like what about like when you're whacking off?
When you're whacking off, then like, oh, it's a spike at 2 a.m. or midnight or whatever it is.
Or midnight and 2 a.m.
Every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you shouldn't have a Fitbit, Larry.
Yeah, not a very big spike. It's just, you know, a few... It says you took four steps at midnight and then eight steps at 2 a.m. That's... yeah. Oh. Anyway, all right, well...
that's pretty good, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad...
Go get a Fitbit, everyone. Get in shape.
Get in shape. Don't eat late at night.
Don't eat late at night. That's terrible. That's the worst thing.
And don't eat poutine for breakfast.
Yeah. I came back, actually, from Calgary, and I had lost a few pounds.
Really?
Well, we didn't eat.
No, we didn't.
Didn't eat anything except for some healthy meals.
That's true.
There was no food there. And that's a good thing. That's what you need to do, lock you in a prison with no food.
Although, answer me this. Yeah. Answer me this, Batman.
Riddle me this.
We had the poutine.
Yep.
And then didn't we go and have, like, a couple of jelly donuts at the radio stations? I mean, I did
poutine
not.
And I had a donut. It was a maple sugar donut.
Ooh. Sounds,
and it was good.
Sounds decadent.
But it didn't have anything inside of it. It was just a donut.
Yeah. All right.
Then I went to bed, and then didn't eat anything until dinner.
Yeah, which was at 5:30.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty good.
So
I mean, it's not that healthy for you to do it. You should really portion it out, like Gunter Schlierkopf says.
Absolutely, but
better than nothing.
Better than nothing. And when you're on the road, you expect not to lose weight, but to gain weight.
The road is a hard place.
The road is a hard mistress.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of ridden mistresses.
All right. So, what do we cover? Colorado, Canada. And the Fitbit, basically, is what we talked about.
Yeah, it was an excellent podcast today. But I think everyone's takeaway from this should be, you should come to the Denver shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, here's the other takeaway. Yeah. Kevin took away an accent.
Yeah, God, come to Denver, eh?
He's stuck that way. He made fun of the Canadians, now he's stuck talking that way.
What's going to happen when we go to Denver, like, and pot is legal? Is our crowd going to be all, like, subdued and shit? Like, or are they going to be all, like, they'll be laughing their asses off?
They're going to be laughing their asses off.
Okay.
They're going to be wasted, because... they're going to be high, and then the Denver, the Comedy Works serves beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, the two of those things to get together fuck people up.
Okay. Will and they laugh, though?
The altitude. Yeah.
How could they not? Oh, the altitude, too.
Yeah.
God, I didn't think about that. So they're high, and they're drunk.
Yeah.
I love it. Good for them.
Good for them. It's going to be fun. Come check it out. Come witness the zoo that will be our live.
June 26th, 27th, and 8th, 28th. Yeah. 26th, 27th, 28th. At Comedy Works downtown.
We're filming 5 shows.
Come get on camera with us. Have some laughs.
It's worth it. Trust me.
All right.
Okay, everybody. I'm going to chew some poutine on the way out.
Oh, you are? Me too. Or should I find another Canadian delicacy?
What else do they have?
Moose knuckles.
Hey.
I'm going to chew some moose knuckles.
Moose knuckles.
That's kind of gross.
What's a moose knuckle?
You know what a moose knuckle is. That's the Canadian frog's eyes.
Okay, yeah, no, for sure. I thought you were referring to the moose droppings.
Oh, no.
Which are like that...
That's a different thing. That's chocolate-covered...
We used to do that up in Canada. When we were at the place on the border of Canada and Vermont, we used to go moose watching.
Oh, you did? Moose tipping?
Yeah, not moose tipping, moose watching. And
well, I remember we did that one radio station somewhere in Canada.
Oh, we saw moose. No,
yeah,
it was Alaska. It was Alaska.
Oh, it was Alaska. Oh, never mind.
Same fucking shit.
Yeah,
it's higher up than Canada.
Yeah, there was a moose outside the station.
Yeah, and a moose and her daughter.
Yeah,
and her cub.
Yeah,
And we were...
steering clear, eh?
Yeah, there.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in Denver, right? Okay. Let's chew some Canadian.
I got the breakfast poutine.
I got the moose knuckle. Later.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.